Report 92.5 KQJO St. Joseph Natchez 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you once again, my Father, for this precious opportunity, my Father, to allow you to summon us into your presence, to gather us together, Father, and not only in one accord, but with one accord, my Father. Not only all us gathered together in one accord, I say it again, but with one accord, with your accord, with what you are doing. You know, we gather ourselves, Father, and we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, and we come in agreement and in one accord with the accord that you're doing, with what you're doing, my Father. So simply saying, Father, we just humble ourselves under your mighty hand, my Father, and we say yes to your will and yes to your way, my Father. Your kingdom come, Lord, and your will be done, my Father, in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Now give us this day, my Father, everything that we have need of, Father, to help you accomplish that in our lives, my Father. Whatever it is that we might need out there, whatever need that's represented out there, Father, that's under the sound of my voice, Lord, that's needed, that's represented out there, Father, we decree and declare that that need is met in the mighty name of Jesus. And it's for this reason, Father, for your glorification, so that your name might be glorified, so that your word might be glorified, so that you might be glorified in all the earth, Father, for everything, Lord, is for your name's sake, Lord. So, Father, we ask you, Lord, to lead us and guide us, my Father, and to draw us nearer and to take us higher, Father, for our desire is to go higher in you until we reach the fullness of a stature of Christ, until we become a fixed, predictable image of Jesus Christ, Father, who is a fixed, predictable image of you. Therefore, we all might be one, my Father. So, Lord, we just humble ourselves once again under your mighty hand and say yes to your will, yes to your way, Father. Now, here's our cup, Father. Fill it up and make us whole, my Father. Give us this day our daily bread. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen. Hey, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God, hallelujah. As always, what an honor and what a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes and your automobiles, you know, do these radio waves and just allow God to use these lips of clay, you know, not to entertain you, but to change, you know, to transform us, to allow God to transform us, to transform us, you know, and watch this, not just transform us into anything or to no religion or to no belief system, but to transform us into his very image and his very likeness. Let me tell you something, you know, that's a high calling. Paul said it this way, you know, he said, I do not I have not yet apprehended. But one thing I do, I forget those things that's behind me, and I keep on pressing on toward the prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Well, I'm talking about to be just like him. To be just like him. To take the limits off of, you know, of our potentials and our abilities and off of us and who we are and why we're here and what we can do and where we're going to end up at. Most important, you know, why we're here. And boy, that's why God, man, is summoning us as his family. You know, listen, pastor church services. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You know, I didn't say go around them or go without them or nothing like that. I'm just talking about, I got to start saying that in a better way. Not pastor church services, but pass through. Yeah, that's a better way. To pass through our church services, to pass through the gates of Thanksgiving, you know. To pass through, that means don't just stop there, you know, to come through there with Thanksgiving, we're passing through. To come through, come on into the course of praise, but don't dwell there, don't stay there, pass through. To come on into the fellowship and the assembling of ourselves together and performing our worship service and our seminars and all the programs we put on, but don't just dwell there, pass through. All the way into the presence of the Most High God. That's what we've been talking about, you know, since the beginning of the year, you know. God's invitation to us. God pointing unto us the golden scepter of righteousness. You know, that's very important that you grab a hold to that understanding of that part of the Word of God. That's what the Word of God is all about from the beginning to the end. What? It was God dwelling in his presence and feasting at his table. Fellowshipping with the Most High God. Listen, thank God, like I say, thank God for the fellowship of the saints. And when we get together sometimes in church and have a good time in church and good fellowship and everything. Yeah, but I'm listening, that's a good thing. But can you imagine, man, fellowshipping like with the Most High God? In that same way. Not only, man, you know, collectively, when we come together collectively, but most important, boy, individually. You know, when it's one-on-one, or when it's you and God. Not us and God, but you and God. Because that's where the growth takes place at. That's where the development takes place at. That's where the strength, that's where the fulfillment takes place at. That's where, I say that again, the fulfillment of life take place here. There. That's why God, boy, you know, out of all the things he want to do, you know, everything he was doing was a means to one end. You hear me say that, use that terminology a lot, you know. And it was for, you know, this purpose, to get his Holy Spirit back into this earth. Because everything that he's doing, you know, we quote the scriptures and everything, but we need some clarity and some understanding. Everything he's doing is not by might nor by power, but it's by his Spirit. His Spirit is the one that is at work in the earth today. You know, Jesus did a work in the earth 2,000 years ago. The Father did a work in the earth from the beginning. Jesus came 2,000 years ago and did a work in the earth, and then he left. And then, boy, he sent back somebody else. He sent back the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that's at work in the earth today. And he's the master contractor, you know. He's the builder of the house. And listen, unless the Lord build a house, our labor in vain. The Lord is the owner of the house. And then he got a master contractor that can build it, boy, build it to his specification. That's the Holy Spirit. And then he got all the material that he need to build it, right? That's Jesus. That's the Word of God. So it's the Father. That's the owner of the project. He owns everything. He paid for everything, too. Everything, listen to me. Hallelujah. He paid for everything because the house is his. We his children. We his royal priesthood. We his chosen generation. We belong to him. We didn't choose him. He chose us. He created us. He owned us. He's the owner of the house, man. The contractor, the one who built the house, is the Holy Spirit. The material that he uses is the word of God. And watch, you know, it's a specific word that he uses. You know, that he uses to build the house of God or to build the kingdom of God. Listen, if you're going to build a brick house, you ain't going to use straw. Same thing, if you're going to build boy the kingdom of God, you ain't going to use straw. You're going to use kingdom words. You're going to use kingdom material. I'll say that again. You know, if you're going to build a brick house, you're not going to use straw. If you're going to build it, well, you got to use the material, the same material. If you want a brick house, you got to use brick material. If you want a straw house, you got to use straw material. If you want a religion, you got to use religious material. If you want a kingdom, you got to use kingdom material. Let me say a sample, boy. The word that he used was a specific word. It's called the gospel of the kingdom, or the good news about the kingdom, or the good word of the kingdom, or the good message of the kingdom. What? Kingdom, 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 kingdom. Listen, boy, that's what this thing is all about. All about the king, his kingdom, his royal family, who are little kings, his expansion of his kingdom from his territory, the unseen realm, heaven, to the seen realm, earth, that he gave to us. Then, boy, he lost his kingdom on earth. And then, boy, go on down through the history of mankind where, boy, through his son, Jesus Christ, he regained his kingdom on earth. And now what he's doing, man, not only through Jesus Christ, but through you and I, the church, is restoring his kingdom. Restoring it, man, that's what Jesus Christ come and did. He came and regained it, and then he restored it back to us. He regained the kingdom that was lost. Then he restored it back to who it belonged to, us, you and I. And then he gave us an assignment. What? Go do the same thing I did. Go do just like me. Go be just like me. Go live just like me. Go talk just like me. Go walk just like me. What you talking about, Arthur? I'm telling you the greatest story that's ever been told. I'm telling you the story about the Bible so that you can understand it. There are a lot of people read this Bible, man, but they don't have a clue, man. They don't understand, man, what it's saying. That's why a lot of people don't read it, man, because they don't understand it. Why? Because you can't understand that through your five sense reading. It's spiritually discerned. Jesus said this here, the words that I speak, they are spirit. And they are life. Listen, the word is spirit. It comes from a spirit. God is a spirit. And it's written or addressed to the spirit of man. Not just your sense knowledge, your spirit man. That part of you that created in the image and likeness of God. That was part of you that I'll be talking about today, hey, mighty man and mighty woman, that man, that part of you. That part of you that's created in the image and likeness of God. That part of you that's just like God. That perhaps you don't know about and how to operate in and how to live in and the principles that governs that life. That's why I say the Holy Spirit don't need any kind of word. He just needs a specific word. He needs a word that governs that kind of life. Not religious living. Not natural living, not human living, but kingdom living. That's a royal life. I'm going to say that again. That's a royal life. That ain't no any kind of life. That's superior in quality and superior in quantity. A good life. A ruling life. A life that, man, you know that don't dictate to you, but you dictate to it. How? You know, I told you about the Holy Spirit. What do you use? You use the word of God. What word of God? The word of the kingdom. What word do you use? He used the word of the kingdom. Why? Because he can keep building the kingdom. Why? Because just when Jesus Christ came and regained and restored back to us. Now, how is the Holy Spirit at work in building the kingdom now? He got to do it through us. Just like he did it through Jesus, he listened. It was him who was doing it through Jesus. Jesus never attributed none of those mighty works that he was doing to himself. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me. He has empowered me. He has equipped me. He has endowed me with everything that I have need of. Who? The life of God, the power of God, the ability of the Most High God, the contract of God, the master builder. Boy, he'll take everything that I say, boy, I'm talking about it, and manifest it in this earth. He won't just preach it. I'll preach it and he'll manifest it. Say that again, Arden. Hey, boy, Jesus said, I preach the word of God. I'm going to tell you what God said, boy, but it's going to be the word of God. And the Holy Ghost is going to take, boy, God's word and man, and just like he did in the beginning, bring it into existence, visible existence. The Bible says the race was born and without shape, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved out on the face of the deep, and God said it. And when God said, that's the material right there. Who said? The Father, the Creator. What he did, he said, he spoke. He gave some material right there. Who is that? That's the Son. That's the Word. And what happened? Boy, the Holy Ghost took that Word, boy, and started creating exactly what the Word said, what the Father said. And that's why he said, hey, my Word don't return to me, boy. If I said something, baby, you can take that to the bank, because the Holy Spirit is going to take that and bring that into manifestation. That's his assignment. That's his job. That's what he in the earth today for. To take that Jesus said, he ain't going to speak of himself. He's going to take that which he have heard of me, and then he's going to bring it into manifestation in your life. And just like the Spirit of the Lord was on me and anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted and to set at liberty those who are bound and to recover the sight to the blind and to proclaim to every man, every woman, and every boy, and every girl that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. The year of Jubilee, that same spirit that was on me to open blind eyes and I stopped death ears and cast out devils and raised the dead, baby. I'm going to send him back, boy, and he's going to same spirit that's on the inside of me going to dwell in you. And the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works shall you do. I'm going to go to the Father and I'm going to send you back, boy, the same power, the same spirit that's enabling me to be and do everything that you see me being and doing, that same ability that enables me to do that, boy, Jesus said, I'm going to send him back to you. And that same spirit that's upon me going to be upon you. And the words that I do shall you do also. And I say, and greater words shall you do. He said, why? Because as I am, so are you. You hear me quote those scriptures a lot, because, boy, God wants that to get down into your heart, because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Just imagine, man, if we'd have been hearing sermons like that, boy, I'm talking about all the time, in different ways, man, it ministers to us in different ways, but the subject matter is still the same, what Jesus said. What Jesus said, as I am, so are you. As the Father sent me, I'm going to send you. The work that I do, you're going to do too. What you did, Jesus, I went about doing good. And, boy, healing all those who was oppressed of the devil. What you mean, boy? Setting the captives free, opening blind eyes and unstopping deaf ears so that the people could, boy, not only just hear physically, boy, hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church. So that they could hear God's voice once again for themselves. So they could come back into a personal relationship with God. Thank God, like I said in the beginning, for the corporate experience, man. But I'm talking about one-on-one. I'm talking about you and your Father. What can you imagine that, man? That's what God has been telling us all through this year, you know. If he's summing all up what he's been trying to get, the message he's been trying to get to us, across to us. Because we started talking about seasons, you know. And we started correcting a few things, you know. And the Bible is good for reproof, rebuke, instruction, and corrections too. And we were talking about seasons, you know, and that's how we got into this series of teaching that we're in now, you know, about coming into the presence of the Lord, because it all began with seasons. And man, you know, we quoted some scripture, you know, especially we went to Ezekiel, not Ezekiel, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where it said that there's a time and a season for everything up under the sun. A time and a season. We talked about, man, what time is. You know, time is an ongoing, man, how can I say it? Help me, Spirit. Time is just ongoing. It's measured in seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and in months and years and decades and centuries, and it's ongoing. That's time. And in this time that's ongoing that we live in, there are seasons in this time. Just like in the time span of a year, you know, on this earth, you know, there are seasons in it. There's winter, fall, autumn, spring, summer. You know, those are different seasons. That's within that time frame of that year. The year is the time frame, ongoing, you know, but in the course of those years, there are different seasons. What you mean, Arthur? They are defining moments. There are periods in time where God deal with people in different ways. I want to say, I'm trying to find a way to say it, help me, Holy Spirit, to where you can understand what I'm saying, so that you can understand, you know, what this Bible is all about, what God is all about, what you all about, boy, so that you might have clarity, so that you might see yourself and have the boldness to do like what we've been talking about for the last few weeks, man, coming into the presence of the Most High God. Why, Arthur? Because you need to know something, because that's where you were created to live at. That's where you were created to be at. And you need to know that, you know, so that you have the boldness to come on into, boy, the presence of the Most High God. So that the way that has already been made through his son, Jesus Christ, won't go in vain in our life. So that we don't just die in the wilderness, you know, saved and believing God and going to church and doing the best we can, everything else. But there's more to it than that. There's much more to it than that. You ain't just saved, man, to live, man, the best you can and hope that when you die, you can go to heaven and be with Jesus forever. No, there's more to it than that. Much, much more to it than that. And as you come to the knowledge of the much more to it than that, then I guarantee you, boy, you're going to pick up your old man, your 10, and you're going to press on toward that prize of that high calling, like what we were talking about earlier, that's in Christ Jesus. What's that, boy? To be just like him. To do just like him. To live just like him. See, the devil gave us that mentality, well, you know, that was Jesus. That's the son of the Most High God. We can't be like him. Man, that's the biggest lie that the devil ever told you, man. You were created just like him. It was him who inspired God to create you from the very beginning. So God created you in his image and his likeness. For what purpose, boy, because God, he pleased God so much in Proverbs chapter 8, he said, good God Almighty, I love that boy so much, I want me a whole bunch of just like him. And he inspired God to create us. And man, when God created us, he created us in that image. In the image of him, who, his son, who is the express image of the Father. That's what God did. That's what he did. That's what he did. He created us like that. And he placed us in a place. He placed us in his presence. In fact, we come from his presence, you know. He never intended for us to ever be divided or separated from his presence. But as a result of disobedience and the transgression of the law, then, man, that's what sin is, the transgression of the law. How did that come about, man? Through disobedience. And what that caused? That caused death. What death are you talking about, man? I'm talking about spiritual death. Separation from God. Separation from that anointing, that power, that mighty one that was upon Jesus, that enabled him, the Holy Spirit. Separated from the contractor. So if you're separated from the power of God, the contractor, the builder, man, you know, you ain't going to get nothing built. And ain't nothing going to go on. You're just going to go round and round and round. So in fact, you're going to be lost. That's why I say it early, and I say it again, boy, the most important person in the earth today is the Holy Spirit. Because it is he who doeth the work in the earth today. He the contractor. He the master builder. He the one that take the word of God, man, and 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 build. And watch what the Bible say in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. It say, now, brethren, I commend you. That's why I told you earlier, he don't take no any kind of word. It's a certain word that he build with. He don't use no any kind of material. Certain material that he build with. Acts chapter 20, verse 32 says this, and now, brother, I place you, or I commend you, boy, I place you upon the word, the anointed word of God's grace. What word? The word of God's grace, which is able to build you up, not hype you up, not stir up your emotions. It'll do that too, but more than that, that is able to build you up, edify you, strengthen you, man, and give you your inheritance among those who are set apart to it. That's what sanctify means, set apart to something, separated from something to something. Say that slow. Separated from something to something. Separated from that old man to the new man. Separated man from man, a life without God, man, to a life with God. Separated man from the absence of God into to the presence of God. Separated from this old world system, man, into the kingdom of God system. Separated from something to something. What give you your inheritance? What? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. What are you going to do? You're going to give us an inheritance. How are you going to do that, boy? Through the word of God's grace. I ain't talking about the religious grace that they preach that you hear about. I ain't talking about that grace. I ain't talking about the grace to cover up your sins. No. See, when they preach grace, that's what they talk about, man. They voted, man, the grace is to cover up your sins. I ain't talking about that grace. I'm talking about, boy, the grace of God, man. The grace of God, not the religion. I'm talking about the grace of God. What grace of God? It don't cover up my sin. It cover up sin, S-I-N, the original sin that caused me to be a sinner, to be born in sin. It ain't cover up my sin. It cover up the original sin that caused all the sins, S-I-N-S. Hallelujah. No, grace don't cover my sin, boy. The blood of Jesus Christ covered my sin. Grace covered, man, you know, Adam's sin, that the original sin that brought sin upon all mankind. So if grace didn't cover the original sin, then all mankind, man, is free from the law of sin and death. But you don't know that. And the only way you can know that, more like I told you, boy, the Holy Ghost, man, he got. If we're going to build a kingdom, we got to use kingdom material. This is what I'm talking about, boy, this kingdom life, this kingdom living. This ain't religion. This kingdom life. Hallelujah. What's kingdom life, Arthur, boy? I'm talking about ruling and reigning in life. Instead of life ruling and reigning, man, over us, there's us, man, ruling and reigning, man, over life, in life. How you rule and reign in life, man, you know, by using the most powerful force in the universe? What's that, boy? That's the word of God. How do a king rule? He rule with his word. And, boy, let me tell you something. That's why Jesus say, I only say what I hear my Father say. The reason why I can rule like I rule it, because, boy, I only speak, boy, what the king say. I only say what God say. What God say? God say, let's make them in our image and our likeness. So I come out here to tell you, Ben, what God say. Well, you in his image and you in his likeness. You just like him. Boy, the religious people in that day and time, boy, they thought that was, boy, they thought they wanted to stone him when he said that. In fact, they tried to stone him, but he didn't have no sin in him. So death couldn't touch him. What that man say? That man say, boy, let me tell you something. He's just like his father. Make himself equal with God. Blasphemy. They want to kill him. Same thing, look at me sometimes. You know, they say, man, what is this? My God. Hey, nevertheless, man, you can't touch him. You can't touch this either. Why, this is the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus said, boy, let me tell you something. But this kingdom, there ain't no end to it. The gates of hell can't prevail against that. What's the gates of hell? Physical death. Don't stop that, man. And men begin to leave, their spirits begin to leave their bodies, man, you know that don't stop the kingdom from expanding. They keep right on expanding to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. Until, man, we all come to the unity of the faith. To be that statue of Christ. We're going on in God. Until we reach what, like we said earlier, until we reach the fullness of the stature of Christ. And even though we have not yet apprehended man, listen, we don't wait till the sweet by and by, man, to start going toward the prize of the high calling. Man, we run this race with faith and patience, knowing that he who has promised is faithful, man. That it's a done deal. Like I told you, it's the word of the king. How we rule? We rule with the same way Jesus ruled. How do you rule? He ruled with the word of the king. He ruled with God's word. He spoke to the circumstance, situation, and symptom, God's word. He didn't tell man God about his circumstance, situation, and symptom, but he went to the circumstance, situation, and symptom and told it about what God said. And let me tell you something. I told you that's the most powerful force in the universe. And when you understand the principles of kingdom living, see, we haven't gotten to there yet. We were just in the introduction. But knowing that the kingdom is available to you so that you can come in. But after you come on into the kingdom of God, boy, that was my prayer, man, that you come on into the kingdom of God. Bring your church. Bring your religion. Bring y'all. Bring him. Just come. I told you the way already been made. The simplicity of it wasn't make it hard. All you got to do is just come to the knowledge of it, man. That's what I trust. Because let me tell you something. What I'm talking about and coming to the presence of the Most High God, let me tell you something. The invitation goes out to every man, every woman, and every boy, and every girl. But you just don't go there. You got to go through the protocol. You know, it didn't. When I'm talking to people on this radio broadcast, most people on this radio, man, they already believe in the Lord. This Christian radio. This ain't secular radio. That's where we got to go, though, to the secular. That's where. Right now, the Bible says Jesus came to his own. And some of you might not even receive what I'm saying. You know, the Bible says his own received them not. But as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. Well, mature in God, to grow up in God. For what purpose? Because it takes the sons of God to destroy the works of the devil. Not the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teachers who have become sons of God. What you mean, man? That means, man, you've grown on and exercised, man, your righteousness and your faith, man, to the place where, man, you can eyeball a devil, eyeball to eyeball, and face to face, and let him know, man, that great is he. You see why? Because you can't enter the strong man's house and spoil it good until you first bind up the strong man. And I say this while I'm right here. I just plant seeds. You know, God don't send no children out to fight the devil. Just like we don't send no children out to fight in the wars here from the United States. Today we send any 10-year-old, 12-year-old children, man, they join the army and go out there and fight in Afghanistan and Kuwait and all them places out there. No, we don't do that. Same thing, God don't send no children to go fight the devil. Most of the people in the Bible and the church, man, just little children. And God don't send no children out to fight the devil, but he send them sons, leaders, the ones supposed to be know, man, who they are in Christ Jesus, know the word of God. And he's supposed to be the shepherd of your soul, man, just like Jesus was, just like David was. A bear come in there, man, it wasn't them sheep responsibility to kill the bear. It was David, the shepherd, responsibility to kill a lion and a bear, and even Goliath. When it came down to protecting God's people, the shepherd of his people, David killed Goliath too. Right. What you saying, Arnold? I'm saying right now, I might have gone on. See, that's a serious indictment against those of us who are living in the church. Because you can't take the people no further than where you go. That's why I say there's a going on in God, man. We'll never be complacent to where you are now until we reach the fullness of that stature of Christ. Hallelujah. To keep on going on, man. And don't just say, well, hey, you know, this is what I believe, and this is here now, and going on, I'm going to stay right here. That's just like the three boys, man, when they went with Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration. And, boy, they had that great experience, that one experience. And, boy, them children wanted to stay up there and build three houses. And Just like the church did, they don't think with a revelation that they got from God, boy, just build a house right there and build a church and build a denomination. All behind that one experience. And all the people down below, man, going to hell, boy. Jesus say, man, come on. The people down there going to hell, man, need demon care doc. You want therapy? You want therapy? You a little church, your four walls and therapy here, man. And have church and have good church and sing and praise me and all that, man. And the lost still lost. And the blind still blind. And the dumb still dumb. And the lame still lame. And I don't know how this message, but God is speaking to us today. But I tell you, I don't never have no pre-planned messages. All I do, boy, is just fellowship with the Father and His Word. And with Him. Behind the veil. And then, boy, when it comes time, man, to allow Him to use these lips of clay, boy, to edify all of us as the body of Christ, then, man, I just come on here, man. You know, sometimes I jot down a few notes or something like that, but, man, you know, I don't know how to stick to the notes, man. It just flow out of me. The Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth going to speak. And the man from the good treasure of his heart going to bring forth good things. So I just fill myself up, boy, with what? With the kingdom ministry of God. I just feel, if you take a Coke machine and you put Coke in every slot, if you put Coke in the root beer slot, the strawberry slot, the orange slot, if you just put Coke in every slot, boy, it don't matter what button you hit, ain't nothing coming out but Coke. Why? Because it's full of Coke. Well, I just feel myself up, boy, with the message, boy, of Jesus. Not just the message of about Jesus and who He did and what He did. And who He is, but the message that He spoke, the message that He proclaimed. And boy, that's what the devil don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of. That's what the Lord be using these gifts of clay to share with you through these broadcasts. It's important for you to know that too, so that you don't miss the purpose for it. Because wherever purpose is not known, then misuse is inevitable, or abuse is inevitable. If you don't know the purpose of a thing, you can miss it to use of, or you can abnormally use it. The purpose for these Bible studies, this radio broadcast, when I come on here, this is purpose, boy, that the kingdom of heaven, man, might be established in the hearts of all God's people, man, who will incline their ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church. What? So that the kingdom of heaven may be established in the heart. That's what Jesus came to do, to establish the kingdom of heaven, watch this, in the hearts of man. That's a future kingdom when He comes in during the millennial time. That's later on. That's a whole different teaching, boy, that you have. That's why most people don't read the book of Revelation, because they don't understand that. Because that's a future time. There's going to be a millennial kingdom. That kingdom ain't here yet. I'm talking about with a physical kingdom, where Jesus physically come in like they expected Him to do when during the Roman Empire, that He's going to come and set up a physical kingdom on His earth. But boy, there's going to be a time where He come and do that. He called a millennial kingdom. That kingdom ain't arrived yet, but it's why? Because He didn't come to set the kingdom so much as on the earth first. See, in that dispensation, in that season, it's going to be on the earth. He's going to be, he, right now, by faith, you can't see Him, but He's going to be a visible kingdom. But right now, He come to set up the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God in the hearts of man, in our minds, in our wills, in our emotions, in our attitude, in our spirit, inside of us. But where is the kingdom of God? Do it come with observation? No, it is within you. It's in you. It's in your thinking. Why? Because as a man thinking in his heart, so is he. And man, I'm telling you, from the abundance of the heart, the man going to speak. And then from the good treasure of his heart, he going to bring forth a good thing. What you saying, Norton? I'm just saying, boy, if you're going to build the kingdom of God, the reason why the kingdom of God ain't being built and established more than what it is now, because, boy, the Holy Spirit ain't been having that kind of material to work with for His people. That's why I said it earlier. I feel say that's a serious indictment against us as leaders. We've been trying to build, man, you know, a brick house using straw. And the people know all about Jesus, but they don't know nothing about the kingdom. When Jesus' whole purpose for coming was to bring back the kingdom. So we know about him, but we don't know about his message, what he did, and what he brought back. We know about the redeeming work of Jesus, but we don't know about the restoration work of Jesus. We know where we've been saved from and that we've been saved, but we don't know what we've been saved to. We don't know that you've been saved, man, to get your inheritance. You've been saved, man, to go and get your inheritance. Not to wait on your inheritance to come, man, to you in a sweet by and by, but for you to go get it. Why? Because the testator, man, didn't already die, man. Our will ain't in effect until the person died who wrote the will, man. Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago, y'all. And that will, what will? That's why you say, I ain't going to do away with the law, man. I come, Lord, to tell you that that will is fulfilled. Now you can come get your inheritance. What? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. And you ain't got to wait till, man, in the millennial kingdom, and when I throw the ghost out and the sheep in that time, man, yeah, there's going to come a time when I say that, man, but I'm telling you, yeah, right now, that kingdom, that when I'm going to say, come, who you who are blessed of my Father, and get your inheritance, the fullness of it, hey, I'm going to tell you that you ain't got to wait till... to all of the fullness, man, before you start proclaiming that and grabbing a hold of that and seizing that and placing it in your possession, it's available to you now. Where it going to start at? It ain't going to start on the inside. You might not see no manifestation, but they're going to see something on the inside of you. Right? Just like a conception, just like, man, when a life is taking place, you don't see it at first. Even the woman don't even know it at first when the conception takes place. But, boy, after a little while, you start seeing some things. And seeing some things, then you know, and you know something going on different while conception then took place, did. But when it first takes place, you don't have a clue. You don't know that it's taking place. That's why I just come on here, boy, and plant the seeds of the kingdom of God into the womb of all mankind's spirit. And hope that through that intercourse, boy, you know that conception will take place. And people, man, will be born again out of the kingdom of darkness, open to the kingdom of God, dear son. So for what purpose, Arthur? So that baby, that we might grow up, man, you know, not in religion, but that we might grow up in the kingdom. Can you imagine the two different, man, lifestyles? Growing up more in religion, as religious figures, are growing up and in the kingdom as kings and queens. Applying spiritual principles. Ruling and reigning in life by applying spiritual principles. I'm talking about, boy, instead of, man, just being a religious man and going around and around in circles, boy, become practical application of God's word. That's applying, boy, those spiritual principles. Some people call it religion. I call it religion. In the kingdom, they spiritual principles. In religion, they rituals and ceremonies and traditions and customs. And it's the same thing in the kingdom. It's just a different form of it. One is natural and one is supernatural. One is physical, man, one is spiritual. One is of this world and one is of, boy, another world. What other world is that, boy? The world of God. What you mean world? The arrangement, the pattern of operation, the system, the lifestyle, the culture. That arrangement, that pattern of operation, that lifestyle. What lifestyle are you talking about, Arthur? Not my boy, the one that God, boy, created and designed and created man from the very beginning. What was that? That was you and I creating his image and his likeness, walking and talking with him in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship with a mandate. Well, I'm going to put you in an environment, in a place, said the Lord, where everything that you have need of, boy, is in that place. So the Bible says, so God planted a garden in Eden. And there he placed the man. In that environment, in that atmosphere. On that spot, on the earth, at that time. With an open door into a delightful place. The literal presence of the Most High God. And from that place, what? The literal presence of the Most High God. You say, be fruitful. That's productive. Let's produce something. Produce. Let's take a seed, man, and produce, man. Let's take the word of God and produce it in our lives. Not just preach about it, not just sing about it, not just have a good church about it and get our emotions stirred up about it, but fruitful. The Bible says, herein is my Father glorified, that you take the seed of the word of God and you plant it in your heart by practical application of it, and you nourish it and you cultivate it, boy, knowing something, a principle, a law that's in the kingdom of God. That boy, in due season, you're going to reap if you don't faint. Well, it's a law in the kingdom called a law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived, God, not mocked. Whatever you sow, that shall you reap. Let me see it simple. Whatever you say, it ain't what you have. Why? Because you're a king, whether you're ruling backwards or forward. You're still a king. Why? Because that's how you were created. Now, you can rule reverse. You can line your words up, man, with what the devil said and his world sister said, man, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to reign in your life. Why? Because you're still a king, whether you're ruling under the spirit of darkness or whether you're ruling, man, on the spirit of light. I mean, you're ruling under the man, the governing influence of this world system, or are you ruling and reigning and lying your word up with the governing influence of God's system, God's word? Are you saying what the circumstance, situation, and symptoms say in our lives, or are we saying to those circumstances, situations, and symptoms in our lives what God say, what God's word say? Who word we line up our word with? Who voice we line up our voice with? There's three voices in the earth. It's the voice of God. It's the voice of Satan. And it's the voice of mankind. And all of them are speaking. God speaking, the devil speaking, and you speaking. The devil, man, throw a symptom on your life, and boy, your body say, man, I don't feel too good. So what that is, boy, that's the devil. Put that symptom on there, and then, you know, that's a fact. It could be real, you know, because of whatever circumstance, situation, not taking care of the body, but it's still a fact. And, boy, then that's because the Bible gives that, the body gives that report. Well, that report came from, that came from a circumstance, situation, or a symptom that was motivated, influenced, and orchestrated by the devil. And then, boy, we start lining up our words, boy, with that symptom. And we start saying, I don't feel good. And then, boy, we go get another report, the doctor's report. The doctor say it gave it this name. It's cancer. It's sugar diabetes. It's high blood pressure. It's this. It's dead. It's cancer. It's COVID. It's this. It's all these names. You know what I mean? We start lining up our words with the circumstance, situation, and symptom. When all the time, boy, the word of the king, and the devil don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of. That's why I tell you what I'm telling you now. I ain't telling you what the circumstance, situation, and symptoms say, boy. I want you to know, boy, what the king say about the circumstance, situation, and symptoms. So that we're going to change our world and begin to reign in life, man, not backwards, man, but the way God intended for us to reign in life, man, then you're going to have to change, boy, you know. You got to line up our words, boy, with what you got to first find out what he say about it. He said he bore our infirmities and carried our griefs and suffered our sickness and disease, man. You know, and he was wounded for our transgression, and he was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. We've been redeemed from that curse of the law and from death and all that circumstance, that situation, that symptom. And that we've been restored back to that. And if you want to reverse that the symptom that comes from the devil and was taking place in our body, then you start digging up the mother seed and start planting some more seed. But the seed of God's word. He bare our infirmities and took it all our sin on the tree by whose stripes we were healed. He's the Lord our God who has taken sickness away from the midst of us. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me, and forget not his benefits. Well, who forgive all our iniquities, who heal all our disease, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. Well, when we start saying that and we start speaking that, And we stop going to one another and to God and telling God, man, about our mountain and how big our mountain is. But boy, we go in the presence of the Most High God that He summons us to. And then when we come out of there, then we go to our mountain and tell our mountain how big our God is. And guess what? When we speak to the mountain and tell the mountain how big our God is, guess what He said? He said, if you speak to the mountain and tell that mountain to be cast out and into the sea and don't doubt in your heart, but repeat those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Lord, what are you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about kingdom living, man, and how to live in the kingdom, man. And it's a little bit different, man, than the way we've been trained and conditioned, man, and born and come up to live life. We've been trained to live and try to do the best we can live, man, a good Christian life, man. Well, that's all right. That's good. But let me tell you something. That's the devil's most successful tactic against us, to preoccupy us with the good things, man, at the expense of forfeiting the great things. We're trying to live a good Christian life, man. Let me tell you something. If you can live a good Christian life, that'd be fine. But, boy, let me tell you something. What's better than that? To live, man, a good kingdom life. Instead of trying to show the world, man, Christian life and Christian living, how Christians supposed to live, and show the world, boy, you know, how Christ lived. And how we supposed to live, how, like Christ. We won't show them, the Christians, our lifestyle and how we supposed to live and talk about that and everything. We'll show them the Christ of the Christian. Instead of showing them the Christians of the Christ, they'll start seeing the Christ of the Christians. And that's what God want to bring us to, so that, boy, we will be the light of the world. Because let me tell you something. If you're in darkness, if you're in a dark cave, and, man, you know, you look to the right, to the left, to the east, to the north, up and down, man, and you don't see nothing but darkness nowhere, but some way, man, you look a little bit slightly to the right, and if you saw just a little flicker of light way down the pathway, if you just saw a little flicker of light, then it's just human nature for you to go in that direction toward the light. If you're in darkness, the reason why, boy, like I say it again, it's a serious indictment as us as leaders, you know, we're not like them five foolish virgins, huh, who run out of oil. We got the lamp, but ain't got no oil in it, so there ain't no light shining. So the people in darkness don't see no light. They see a religion, they see the ritual, they see ceremony, they see tradition and everything else, but they don't see, man, you know, man, how do I begin? How can I be victorious in life? How can I get my needs, man? How can I get my broken heart fixed, man? How can, man, you know, I find fulfillment in life, you know? How can I find the answers and the solution to all my problems? How can I begin to reign over, man, the circumstance, situation, and center in my life? How can I win? How can I get my bills paid, man? How can I live a good life? How can I provide for my family and everything? I hear you what you're saying, man, go to church, do this. Yeah, yeah, but I got bills to pay. I got this to pay. How do I do all that, incorporate that and all that in, man? That's what being translated out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of God, dear son. It gives you that. Everything that you're looking for, boy, is in the kingdom. And it's your inheritance. It belongs to you. And if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door be open. You go out, it'll be. And if you seek, you'll find. If you ask, God, boy, let me tell you something. You know what? A lot of people, man, they don't know a lot about the kingdom because they ain't know what to ask about the kingdom. You know, your time of God, you know, your time spent with God, your time going to God, boy, let that be your first request. Lord, let your kingdom come in my life. Let your will be done in my life, Father. Let me see it in a different way. That's why a lot of our prayers ain't getting answered. We go to God and tell God, man, you know, bring our plans and everything to God and tell God what we want Him to do for us and what we need Him to do for us and what we would like for Him to do for us. That ain't how you break. That ain't how you go to God in prayer. You don't go to God in prayer and tell God what you need him to do for you. You got the wagon in front of the horses. And if you try to travel that way, man, you know, unless you got some small horses like Trigger them and all that, they can put their heads behind the wagon and push you a little bit. You can move a little bit, but you ain't, that ain't how it's designed to go. It's designed, man, to put the wagon behind the horses, put the horses in front of the wagon so that the horses, man, got the power to pull the wagon and you can move at a much better rate, speed and power and authority and everything else. If we not careful, boy, we. What you mean, Arthur, you put the wagon in front of a horse? I heard some preachers say it this way. We. How they say that? Are we majoring in the minor or minoring in the major? We preoccupied with the means and forfeiting the end? They don't know nothing about the kingdom in their life. But boy, that's what God, boy, is doing in the earth today. And like we said last week, it's like a little bitty mustard seed. It's the smallest of all the seeds. It's like a little bitty leaven. But when it's applied, when it's planted, it affects the whole bushel of meal. And it grow up to be, even though it's the smallest seed, it grow up to be the biggest tree. And all the birds come flock to in it. And the whole bushel of meal is affected and rises. The dough. What did that? That's the yeast. That's the influence. That's the influence of the kingdom. That's when we tell people, man, what they're looking for and what they need, what that's in the kingdom. When we tell them about the kingdom first. But we tell them about our product first. Hey, listen, y'all, my time is up, you know, and I love y'all with the love of the Lord, you know. And what God is doing now in these broadcasts, if you're listening to these broadcasts, or any time you're tuning in for the first time or first time, it's just God speaking a word into our hearts. You know, you got a free will. You can either receive it or you can reject it, you know. That's one thing. That's another law in the kingdom. Boy, that's called a perfect law of liberty. God said you can eat off any tree in the garden you want to. You can man receive the gospel of the kingdom or you can reject it. You see, I said before you this day, blessing and curse, life and death. Nevertheless, the choice is yours and you choose. You choose kingdom life or you choose natural life. You choose, man, restoration, man. You choose. You choose whether, man, you want to reign in life or not. He gave that responsibility to us. He said, you, I give you dominion. I give you authority. I give you the power to reign and rule in life. Now you choose. You make the choice. If you want to stay out in the wilderness and wander around, man, and keep on every religion, man, tell you something. I ain't going to say you ain't saved before you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You choose. If you want to die in the wilderness, you choose. If you want to go across the Jordan River until you inherit the promised land, you choose. If you want to stay where you are, if you want to stay just mediocre, if you want to press on towards the pride of the high calling, you choose. If you want to go higher, if you want to go further, if you want, man, you know, your inheritance and get that, you choose. And boy, if you choose life, you'll reap abundance. Listen, I love y'all once again with the love of the Lord, and my time is up. And if we could be of any further help to you and pray with you, you can contact us at area code
713-870-3776. Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LeBay. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship. We'd like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God. We can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870-3776.
This is KAYT.
Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best.